Appreciate it. I every time we have one of these, my mind always flashes back to when the violins first started and the squeaking and the squawking. And now it's beautiful. I enjoy it so much, but it takes a little work and practice, and it's come a long ways for sure. Who's singing tonight? Who's got the special? We have a special tonight? We do. First love. All right, ladies, come on and sing for us tonight, and then we'll move right ahead. Thank you very much. Thank you, Brother Allen.
Lord, lift me
up,
and let me stand,
and let me stand
by faith on
heaven's
table land,
a higher plane
than I have found. Lord, plant my
feet on higher ground.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining. Has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray to higher ground.
Lord,
lift me up
and let me stand.
And let me stand
by faith on
heaven's table land.
A higher plane than I have found.
Lord, plant my feet
on higher ground.
A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Well done. I appreciate that very much. Let's go to Mark chapter 14 tonight. Mark chapter 14. And I want to bring, it won't be a long message tonight. I'm almost positive of that. Mark chapter 14. Probably should have turned it over tonight to somebody else. We have Brother Bragg here. Brother Gallus is here. These staff guys. But I was not here for the Tuesday night service, which I heard degenerated into nothing but playing games. I'm just teasing. I knew it was going to happen ahead of time, and we've done that with me here before. It looks like you had a good time, but I wasn't here. And if we are in Pennsylvania next week, that'll be. I don't want to miss too many Sundays, so I definitely physically could have somebody in much better shape. But thank God that in our weakness, his strength can be made perfect. Amen. And that's what I'm counting on tonight for sure. So if you found Mark 14, let's stand together. And I'm going to read a very familiar passage to you, a very familiar account, okay? Beginning in verse number 3. The Bible says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone." I like that, don't you? "Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." I want to talk about good and best. Good and best. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in church. And again, we're not 100%, but Lord, we're glad to be here. I wouldn't want to be at home on a night when I could be with your people. And I pray that you'll please take these moments and, Lord, do only what you have the power to do with them. Speak to our hearts, not just to our ears, but to our hearts. We thank you for this season of the year that our attention is turned toward gratitude and thanksgiving. And, Lord, I pray that tonight you'll help me be a blessing and encouragement to the folks here in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record the earthly life of Jesus Christ. You know that. There are very few incidents in his life that are recorded in all four of the Gospels. Each of the Gospels presents Jesus in a different light. Matthew presents him as the King of the Jews. In Mark, he is the suffering servant. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. And in John, he is presented as the Son of God. So there are some incidents in the life of Christ that fit better into one gospel presentation, if you will, as opposed to the others. Now, the incident that we just read about here in Mark 14 is recorded in three of the gospels. Only Luke leaves it out. You find it in Matthew 26 and in John 12, as well as in Mark 14. You know the story. Most of you know the story, if not all of you. There are three people in Bethany, two sisters and a brother who were very good to Jesus. It seems as if they were some of his closest followers outside of that group of 12 disciples. You know their names: Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, just previous to this occasion, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And so now the three siblings, Jesus and some of his disciples, are in the home there, and they're sitting around when all of a sudden Mary did this unusual thing. She made this unusual gesture. She got up from where they were sitting and got her alabaster box, a very precious and costly ointment, and she broke the box over the head of Jesus and anointed his body with it. And immediately, didn't take long, immediately, some of the Lord's disciples were indignant. That's the word that they got, it, with indignation. They were indignant. And what they said is recorded in all three of the Gospels. Judas Iscariot was the one who led the way. He spoke up and asked, why was this waste made? The ointment and the box, very expensive and could have been sold, and the money given to the poor, rather than just break this costly box and dump this expensive ointment out on a man's head and waste it, it could have been put to good use. I pointed out the Lord's response in verse number 6. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. I love that, okay? And she hath wrought a good work. Why do you trouble her? But then look what he said in verse number 7, because it's found in all three of the Gospels that record this incident. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. That's interesting. Giving to the poor, meeting the material needs of the poor, is good. Giving your all in devotion to Jesus Christ is best. Now, there's certainly nothing wrong with giving to the poor. This is the time of year when that's kind of emphasized, is it not? You got Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving baskets, and you look at the shelters that are open, and they hand out free. I'm not against that, folks. That doesn't. But you see those plates sometimes, and it's like, whoa, that's not a McDonald's chicken McChicken sandwich. There's turkey and dressing and all the fixings with it and the pie. That's fine. There's nothing wrong. And the people are out. I think I haven't been to any stores in the area, but I'm sure that the fellows are out with their bells and their red pots. And you know, you say, you know, well, it's a lot different Salvation Army than it used to be. I get that. But, man, when I go to one of those stores and it's 10 degrees, and that guy's out there, and he's ringing that thing, and he's got a Santa Claus hat on, and he's singing Jingle Bells, or he's singing I Saw Grandma Kissing Santa Claus by the Christmas Tree, or whatever. I can't help but throw a dollar in the pot just because of the entertainment value of the whole thing, you know. But it's all about helping the poor, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's good to help the poor, okay? But people, that's as far as it goes with some people. In fact, a lot of people take consolation in what they do for the poor, believing it to be a work good enough to merit them heaven. But I want you to notice what Jesus said about this, okay? He defended the woman, and then he said, look, you've got the poor with you all. It's almost like the world never understands a Christian's devotion to Jesus Christ. Devotion like what Mary displayed is criticized. You've gone too far. You're a nut. You're part of a cult. Now, if you take that money and you give it to the poor, which is temporal, oh, that's a... give them a blue ribbon. But to see somebody go above and beyond the norm, do something beyond the pale, if you want me to say it that way, for the cause of Christ, you're nuts. You're nuts. You've gone too far. In the world's eye, far better it is to exercise your devotion on the poor than to exercise it on Christ. And according to what the Bible says, helping the poor, you know, that's okay. Hey, you got the poor with you. They're with you always. Anytime you choose to do them good, you can do them good. But me, I'm not here always. Here's an opportunity to exercise devotion on my behalf. And Jesus said, she's done the better part. She's done the better part. Someone devoted to Jesus will be criticized and reviled for their devotion. Even their sanity will be called into question. But if it's done for the poor, thumbs up. Now, I want to point out three motives behind Mary's action, motives behind her actions here that I think we see in this story. And all of these are good motivations for you and me. Nothing wrong with helping the poor. Nothing wrong with that. Where I appreciate giving the coats, the boots. That's what this is for. But you know what? It's given with the idea that they're going to hopefully be given to people that they're trying to reach for Christ. It's amazing how the world looks at it. When a Christian does something to feed the hungry, I'm not against that. That's great. When they give an extra special offering at their church, they've lost their minds. That's a weird thing, isn't it? And that's exactly what Judas. Now, first of all, I want you to see the motive of faith here. The motive of faith. Verse number 8 tells us that Mary had seen Jesus through eyes of faith. Look at it. She had done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. What Mary did, she did partly to symbolize that she believed Jesus to be the Savior of the world who would give his life for mankind's sin, okay? And she could have waited to anoint his body after he died, but here was an opportunity to exhibit faith by doing it aforehand. Now think about that. Mary was moved by faith in what Jesus said about his going away. She had been a part of that crowd, John 14, 15, and 16. That's some of the greatest three chapters put together back to back in all of Scripture. And over again in those three chapters, Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he was telling them, I'm going away. I'm going away. I'm going away. I'm going away. It's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Not your heart be troubled. I'm going to go be with the Father. He said over and over again. Mary no doubt heard all of that, heard part of that teaching or was told it. And so in anticipation of his going away, she moves with faith in what he had said about his going away and does it when she has the opportunity. You and I have the opportunity to display our faith by exercising our devotion to him in anticipation of his coming back. She did it for his going away. We can do it in anticipation of his coming back. And can I say, folks, you know, she could see him and she wanted to show her faith before he left, and you and I are not able to see him, but we can display our faith by giving our all in anticipation of his return. And real faith will motivate us. Real faith in Jesus's faith in Jesus' coming will move us, motivate us to action on his behalf. And even more so as we see the time is short. You know, I'm convinced there are a lot of Christian people who live with the mentality of one of these days. One of these days. One of these days I'm going to get this fixed. One of these days I'm going to take part in that. One of these days, I'm going to go out and knock doors with somebody and just be the silent partner. One of these days, I'm going to do one of these, that one of these, one, folks, if you really believe that the appearing of Jesus Christ could take place at any moment, that kind of faith will motivate you to exercise your devotion to Christ in anticipation of the fact that he may come at any moment. The greatest exercise of our devotion is not, I'm not against it. I'm trying not to sound like a Scrooge tonight. I'm not against giving to help somebody in need. But there's something better than that. And that's exercising our devotion on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read a little article where there is a clock in Strasbourg, Germany. And these, it's a large clock, and it's in a square or a village or something. And these words are engraved around the outer edge of the face of the clock. This is what it says. One of these hours, the Lord is coming. And Jesus said, in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man appeareth. You need to be motivated. I need to be motivated by faith to exercise devotion and dedication to Christ, because we truly believe his coming is imminent. Now, imminent is different than soon. Imminent means at any moment. You can say it might be soon, but we might still be saying that 6 months from now. But if it's imminent, it's any moment in time. He could be coming. The second motivation I want to point out tonight is the motivation of love, which is, according to the scripture, the highest motivation a person could use to exercise devotion and dedication. Go beyond the norm. Go a little bit beyond the norm for the Lord Jesus, okay? Like the offering that we took here about this time. I believe it was this time last year, was it not? We took it, was it this time last year? We took the Thanksgiving offering, and what was it, $74,000 for the buses, to purchase buses and get new buses, which some of which we've done, and still have some money to buy buses as they come available. You know, going beyond, you did what? You did what? If you had given that to the Salvation Army, you'd get a plaque. Because you gave it to buy buses to bring kids to church? You're weird. Now listen, love. Love is the greatest motivation to exercise devotion and dedication to Christ. And you know, we talk about love at first sight. I'm not sure how real that is. Some of you would probably argue with me about that. I knew it was him, it was love at first sight. I knew it was her, it was love at first sight. Well, there might be some kind of emotion or some kind of impression at first sight. But you know what? Getting to know someone, getting to know them well, is very possible to grow to love them deeply. And Mary had gotten to know Jesus. Do you remember what happened in Luke chapter 10? When Martha was cumbered about much serving, where was Mary? Sitting at his feet. Listening to him speak. Mary got to know the Lord Jesus, come to realize by faith that he was the Savior. Now there's this deep, deep well of love in her soul for this one called Jesus, and the motivation of love moves her to go and get that box of ointment that's very costly, very expensive, and basically devote it to him. You say, Pastor, how do you know that motivation of love was involved there? Well, I know it because of what he said in verse number 9. Look at it. He said, wheresoever, this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. In other words, it will last, and it has. And here we are tonight in November of 2023, maybe 2,000 years removed from this incident, and we're still talking about Mary of Bethany? And I would bet, if I was a betting man, that if those missionary families that we support back there, if they've been on the field at any amount of time at all, they probably have preached on Mary of Bethany. So why do you believe that? Because of what Christ said. He said, wherever the gospel goes, this story will go. Now, in other words, it'll be lasting. Let me read for you 1 Corinthians 13:3. Don't go there. Listen. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me. Did Mary come out of this with something lasting? Yeah. You know why? It was motivated by love. Folks, I don't care how much money, and you know, I guess I'm taking the risk tonight of almost sounding uncaring. I don't care how much money these gazillionaires dump into helping poor folks or folks who have gone through tragedies. If it's not motivated by love, it profits them. Zip. Nothing. Zero. But Jesus said, what this woman has done is going to be lasting for her, which tells me Mary was motivated by love for the Lord Jesus to take this costly, yes, it was costly, yes, it was expensive, yes, it could have been sold for a whole lot, and yes, it could have been given to the poor, but instead, she poured it out on the Lord Jesus Christ because she loved him. And you know what? It's a blessing to me to pastor a church where I see love for the Lord Jesus exercised, devoted to him, week after week after week here in the service of others in this church. And I'm sure that not everything all of us do is motivated by love like it should be, but I can't help but believe that I see people doing all kinds of things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And somewhere in the depth of your soul, you love the Lord Jesus Christ to some degree. People may think you're a nut. People may think you're part of a cult. Let people think what they want to think. What the Lord Jesus knows is far more important than what people on the outside think. She was motivated by faith. She was motivated by love. And now, number three, and this is really the reason why I wanted to bring this message tonight, and that is, I believe she was motivated by gratitude. Because, look, don't miss the obvious. Sometimes we're so, you know, looking for the spiritual truths that we miss the obvious. What's the obvious? The obvious is this. Her brother was dead. 4 days buried in the tomb. And now he is sitting at the table with Jesus Christ. And if it's a normal setting and there's laughter and there's fun, and how could Mary experience anything other than gratitude for what Jesus had done in raising her brother from the dead? What can I do for him? Because I'm just thankful. I know. I can run, get that back. She's crazy. No, she's not. No, she's not. She's moving, motivated by the gratitude in her soul for what Jesus had done for her brother. You say, Pastor, if I had a miracle like that to see in my lifetime, I could be thankful also. Do you remember what Jesus did? Remember when Jesus in Luke chapter 10 sent the 70 out two by two? Remember that? Remember when they came back kicking their heels up? Jesus said, how'd it go, boys? Oh, you wouldn't believe it. Man, we had power over this. We had power over devil spirits. And I can just sit. maybe I'm a little too casual, you know, but Jesus said, yeah, I know. I saw lightning. I saw Satan fall out of heaven like lightning. I was there when he fell. Kind of like, okay. Yeah, been there, seen that. Okay. They're all excited about all these things. Remember what Jesus told them? He said, don't rejoice. You have power like that. Rather, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Brother, sister, if you're a born-again believer, a child of God, you are a miracle. You're a 365-day, 24-hour-a-day miracle. And you have a reason to rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ called you from the dead, not physically, but when you got saved, you were brought from death into life. That's what Jesus said. Brought from death into life. You're as much a walking miracle spiritually as Lazarus was physically. And that's what I say. It's been interesting to me today, knowing I was going here tonight, to just, I've mentioned it twice, but just to watch this church function, just maybe it's because I'm that way today and I feel like you're that way, but you just sense it. Everybody's just, okay. Hey, we have reason to rejoice and be grateful and thankful and do our best and give our best to Jesus Christ all the time because of what he's already done for us in saving our souls. We don't have to get anything else, folks. We don't have to get anything else from him in order to be grateful and thankful. I'm probably preaching to people who've spent the last several days. Maybe some of you sat around the table on Thursday and said, you know, what are you thankful for? Let's talk about this. Family devotions or something, you talked about it. You took some time to personally thank the Lord Jesus Christ and thank God, your Heavenly Father, for all the good things that he's done for you. And, you know, I think it has to please him. It has to please him when his children come to him without any request for this or that, or more of this or less of that, but we just come and say thank you. Thank you. And when the exercise of our devotion to him is just motivated by gratefulness. I don't need anything from you, Lord. I'm just thankful to be saved. I'm glad to be your child. I read a story about President Abraham Lincoln, and in those days, you know this, in those days, the access to the White House and the Oval Office, and you know, was much more lenient than it is today. And nobody wants to go there anyway right now. And but people did in Abraham Lincoln's day. And so this elderly lady comes, they let her into the Oval Office. And what can I do for you, madam? And this elderly lady placed a round basket that was covered on the table in his office. And this is what she said, Mr. President, I have come here today not to ask any favor for myself or for anyone. I heard that you were very fond of cookies. So I came here to bring you this basket of cookies. And the story goes that tears trickled down the gaunt face of that great president. And he said, my good woman, your thoughtful and unselfish deed greatly moves me. Thousands have come into this office since I became president, but you are the first one to come asking no favor for yourself or for someone else. Here's some cookies. I don't need anything, Lord. I'm just here to serve you. I'm not here, Lord, asking for anything. I'm just here to thank you. I don't need something for my family. I don't need anything for my friends. I just need to say thank you. She was motivated by gratitude. Now, you take all of those things, you take all of those motivations, and people take time, effort, money, great expense, great work to go to help the poor, and they're lauded and applauded. But let somebody do it for Jesus. Why are you wasting your life? But I'm going to tell you something. When you're motivated by faith, by love, and gratitude to go above and beyond for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's never a waste. Never. Ever. It's okay to help the poor and exercise devotion and maybe doing so. It's best to just exercise devotion in love, faith, and gratitude for Jesus Christ. The world will never recognize that. He never misses it, ever. That's my message tonight. Father, I pray that you'll help us. I thank you for the privilege to be in this place. I thank you for the privilege to serve you. I thank you for the privilege, dear God, to live for you. And Lord, while other people will do expensive and costly and hard and difficult and even noteworthy things to help poor people, they don't see the value of it when it's done for Christ. When people go beyond the norm, beyond the pale, in faith and love and gratitude for Jesus. But you never miss it, and it's never a waste on our part. Lord, help us to lose ourselves in devoted exercise for you. Because we believe we'll see you soon, because we love you, and because it's our opportunity to say thank you. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I hope you've thought about the matter of gratefulness and thankfulness a little bit the last few days. And folks, whatever you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and love and gratitude, don't grow weary of it. When the world questions you, when extended family members make fun of you, when coworkers talk about you're a nut, you just let them say what they will. Can you hear the Lord Jesus say from heaven, leave them alone? They've wrought a good work on me. I don't know about you, but I want to spend the rest of my life in faith and love and gratitude, being devoted to the Lord Jesus. If you're not saved, the altar is open for that tonight. If you'd like to come and spend a moment speaking to the Lord that you love and have faith in and are thankful for, you may do that as well. Let's stand together. Our invitation begins tonight. It's good to do things for the poor. It's certainly noteworthy. It's helpful, but it's best if that same devotion is exercised on Christ. Let the world say what they will.